We welcome you this evening to the service from Londonderry, Free Presbyterian Church. We're delighted that you have joined with us, and we pray that the Lord will bless you through his own word as you meet there in your own home. And we do give you a very warm invitation to the weekly services at present because of the pandemic. The service is at 11:30 here in Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church each Lord's Day morning. So you'll be very welcome to join with the congregation hearing the Word of God. Just before we read and preach the Word of God this evening, we're going to bow together in prayer and seek the Lord's help. Our gracious God, our loving Father, we do humbly bow in thy presence in the Saviour's name. And how we praise thee for our Redeemer. We know that in and of ourselves we were sinful and godless. We were dead in trespasses and in sin. There is none righteous, thy word reminds us. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But how we praise thee this evening for the sin bearer, for the one upon whom our sins and iniquities were laid, and by whom our debt was paid, and all who believe in the Lord Jesus have everlasting life. And we pray, Lord, that through the preaching of thy word, others will be brought to see their need of thee, see their need of repentance and of saving faith in the work of thy cross. We know that it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thou art the mighty to save. Oh, we pray that others will come to the understanding that Jonah came to when he said, salvation is of the Lord. So, Lord, give help and wisdom in the bringing forth of thy word. Bless all who hear thy word, the homes and the families, and grant our Father in these times of peril and danger from the pandemic that others will be wise and seek the path of life and come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is eternal life. So draw near and bless us in thy word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read together in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And we will turn to Genesis chapter 36. And in our systematic reading of the scriptures, when we come to a chapter such as Genesis chapter 36,
with all its tongue-twisting names, we tend to pass such a portion by. But the first verse gives us the key when it says, "Now these are the generations of Esau." And in verse 24, we're told about a man. Among the descendants of Esau, there is a man called Ammah, A-M-A-H. And Ammah, his life is summed up in these few words. He found the mules in the wilderness. When his life had run its course, when he had gone the way of all flesh, this was the sum total of all that could be said of him. He was a minder of the mules in the wilderness. There was nothing of spiritual or of eternal value that God could attribute to his life. And sadly, here is the epitaph of a misspent life, the account of a life that has been wasted. Anna is a man who has missed the mark, the true goal that every one of us should aim for, the magnifying of the Lord and the exaltation of his name. What is recorded of this man is true of so many. He has many followers. Perhaps you walk in his steps. Your life has no other aim or objective than to get on in the world, than to amass earthly riches, to be successful, prosperous. The Lord is left out. Godliness doesn't come into life's equation as far as you're concerned. The gospel, this glorious message, has no appeal. It's foreign to you. Oh, may you come to see that the spiritual aspect of your life is the crucial, the vital matter. And may you seek the Lord today with your whole heart. Now notice with me three things briefly. The potential of our lives. What potential there is in man. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 indicates that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a spiritual being. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 4 adds, "The Lord hath made all things for himself," that is to say, for his glory. "Those whom the Lord has saved, redeemed by his blood, indwelt by his spirit, they can be instruments in his hand, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Our tongues set on fire with evangelistic zeal can proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. These hands can work the works of the Lord, who has told his people to occupy till he come. Our feet can run in the way of his commandments. In the fulfilling of his will and purpose, God uses human instruments, the most unlikely, as when he took up Shamgar and his ox goad." There in Judges chapter 3, and the verse 31, we read that Shamgar slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. Shamgar, with his primitive and apparently useless weapon, he was God's man to deliver the nation. Similarly, Samson had a great victory over the Philistines. With the jawbone of an ass, he slew 1,000 of the enemy. David was much like Anna. He minded the sheep in the wilderness. From that humble occupation, God called him to higher service, to do an even greater work, to serve his own generation by the will of God. David championed the Lord's cause against Goliath. He became the notable, the greatest king of Israel, the man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist, the Lord's prophet, a wonderful type of Christ. When Saul of Tarsus was converted, the Lord sent Ananias to visit him, and this message was given to Ananias in Acts 9 and verse 15. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him, verse 16, how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, was taken up and used as a chosen vessel. Mary Slessor, from the city of Aberdeen, she was faithfully supporting and caring for her widowed mother. Then she heard the call of God through the lips of David Livingstone. Mary Slessor went out to the coast of Nigeria and became known as Mary Slessor of Calabar. She left a mark on thousands of souls that eternity will not erase. Oh, what potential there is in every life to glorify God, to be an instrument in his hand. Paul had three desires: that he might be found in Christ, that he might magnify him, and thirdly, that he might be with him through all eternity. For to me to live is Christ, was his only ambition. Is it yours? Do you not? You must not hide the talent that God has given to you. God has put the treasure of the gospel in earthen vessels. May you say, here am I, Lord, send me. The potential of our lives. But then let us consider together the pursuit of many lives. So many ape this man Anna. They pursue the things that will be of no eternal value or worth. Think of Esau. He was the heir to his father's birthright. Oh, that birthright had within it both spiritual and temporal blessings. But he sold it. And what for? For a bowl of lentil soup. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16 mentions Esau. Esau, for one morsel of meat, sold his birthright. He is described as a profane person. That is to say, he was a man of the earth who lived for worldly pursuits and nothing more. He sold his birthright, for he despised it. He saw no worth or value in it. Judas Iscariot, he sold the Lord, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He sold the Lord, who is the chiefest of 10,000, for 30 pieces of silver. Money meant more to him than the Messiah. Money meant more than the Savior of the world. Has the glitter and the glamour and the gold of this world captivated your heart? Is that what you're pursuing to the exclusion of any thought about your soul. You say, this is life, and I mean to have it. It is perfectly in order for you to pursue your occupation, to work hard in your business. Earning your bread by the sweat of your brow is what God stipulates in His Word. But when your life consists of nothing more than that, it is this man, Anna, all over again. Like him, you too will give account to God. God will say on that great day of reckoning, I give you the gift of life. What did you do with it? And you will have to respond, I spent it in profanity, having a great time in the pleasures of the world. God will say, I give you my word. It set Christ before you, but you would have none of him. You will conclude on that great accounting day with Solomon in Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 2. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Vanity meaning that which is insufficient, worthless, soon vanishes away. Vanity, that which is as vapor or a bubble. How dreadful then to stand before God, realizing I have pursued that which is as nothing. I have sold myself for naught. My life is as wood, hay, and stubble. My soul is lost and undone. I'm condemned already for hell. But consider with me, lastly, the proper perspective on life. What is true life? Where can it be found? Well, in John chapter 10 and the verse 10, the Lord Jesus declares, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. To have Jesus Christ as your Savior is to have life. The Lord makes it ever so clear in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Life is not financial gain. It is not possessions, position, or power. Life is to have the knowledge of Christ. To know Him as your Lord and Savior, life is to be a justified, a redeemed soul. Life is to be at peace with God through the blood of the cross. Life is to be prepared to meet God, to be ready for eternity. Alexander the Great, what an insatiable appetite he had for the things of the world. Having conquered the world, he longed for yet another world to conquer. When he came to die, he left instructions that his hands should not be wrapped in the grave clothes, but left outside the casket so that all the world could see that they were empty. He got the proper perspective on life when he faced the last enemy. The things that you pursue now, that you cannot live without, the sin that you will not give up. On the verge of the grave, at the border of eternity, what will they mean to you? What comfort, what confidence will they give you then? Friends came to comfort an atheist in his last moments. They said to him, just hold on. Just hold on. That's what I would love to do, he said. But what have I got to hold on to? He had nothing to hold on to. He had no savior, no hope, nothing but the wrath to come. Oh, may you today get the proper perspective on life. The gospel, its hope, is just like an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. All who flee to Christ, they have the sure hope of the gospel. David said to Abiathar the priest in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 23, in a time of peril and danger, David said to Abiathar, abide thou with me. Fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me shalt thou be in safe guard. Isn't that wonderful? David could say, you will be safe, Abiathar, with me. And through life and in the great eternity, every soul that flees to the cross, to Christ crucified, will be in safeguard. John 10 and verse 28, the Lord Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Get the proper perspective on life. Matthew 6 and verse 33 exhorts us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Where can his righteousness, the righteousness of God, be obtained? Only in the gospel. The Lord Jesus is Jehovah said Kenu, the Lord our righteousness. Oh, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What must I do to be saved, do you ask? Well, the answer came to the Philippian jailer, and it's still the same today. Believe, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that hath the Son hath life. May you today experience the new birth and receive life eternal in Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word to every heart. Our loving Father, we do thank thee for the glorious gospel. We praise thee that at the cross, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Oh, speak to others through thy word. Bring them to the path, to the fountain of life. Bring them to taste and see that thou, the Lord, the Saviour of sinners, is good. Give deciding grace and may souls be wise, and seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. We ask it in the Saviour's name.